The Lord be with you. Thank you. I feel a little different today. We're going to be without robes some this summer, as I imagine you would be too if you had to wear one. But maybe the choir will start that next week. You never know about these musicians, but failed to get the memo to them, so they are wearing their robes today. I'm so happy you're here today, and it's easy with a lot of empty seats to focus on who's not here, but you folks are the ones who are here, and that is to be celebrated. I think if each one of us were to go out and invite a neighbor or a neighborhood or a few other families that are co-workers or friends or acquaintances, then we might be able to double our crowd pretty easily. And I invite you to do that and to reach out to people and to share some of the joy that we share as a church family and the good that we accomplish in the name of Christ. I have some announcements to share with you as we begin today. First of all, there is a luncheon today, and you're invited to stay along with some people that will probably be coming back from the earlier service this morning. And it is to honor Brian and Lauren in their ministry and to send them off well, but also to remind them that we stay connected with them. And that's happening in this community. We are neighbors, across the road or not. We have been colleagues in ministry in both places, Brian and I. And all that's changing is that he will no longer be employed here at the church to continue to do ministry, but no doubt we will see them some. And no doubt in my mind that we will be involved actively in the ministry across the road, in giving and supporting and bringing food, in providing teaching and personnel support too for meals and for other events that happen there. So we will continue that tradition of association, for we share the same parish. This campus is part of the City of Commerce, and it is within our orbit. And so we will continue to share ministry in this community and beyond. Brian is preaching today, and I know you'll welcome that, as I've already gotten to hear it once down in the chapel, and you're in for a treat. Vacation Bible School is coming up, and Amy may come to say a word about that. Would you like to, or would you like for me to? More volunteers, if you'll see Amy. But we have great plans for Vacation Bible School. There's a big announcement about it in our bulletins. We're doing it on consecutive Wednesdays this year, and looking forward to building some habits among people and inviting them to come to church and be a part of this community of faith. So there are ways to be involved in that, and if you will contact Amy or just call the church office, we'll get you connected. There's also a notice in our bulletin about continuing to support the Wesleyan Campus Ministry with our giving, with our pledges. And I encourage you to increase that as you can, and at the same time, not let it take away from your church offerings, because those are needed as well. But both are in need of growing, and I encourage you to continue to support the Wesleyan Campus Ministry with all of your resources, your time, your energy, and your finances. Our Jubilee is our 50th anniversary, and it's not the anniversary of the birth of this congregation, it's the anniversary of our presence here on this property, 50 years. So we are looking in the 20th of October, we are looking to celebrate the last 50 years and all the good ministries that have been done in this place in those 50 years. But that's only half the story, because the other half is we're going to look ahead to the next 50 years. And maybe kind of hard to imagine that. As you can see, if you look around, we're going to have to make some changes in order to have those 50 years ahead of us. We have to invite young families. You have them in your neighborhood. You have them in your kids' classrooms at school, grandkids, we have to turn inside out and be able to reach people for Christ and with a smiling invitation to come to First United Methodist Church. I hope that you will resolve to do that and that you will help us to not only celebrate the last 50 years, but look forward to the next 50 and all the good and joy and ministry that those decades will hold. That's October 20th. Put it on your calendar. It'll be a day of celebration and a day of looking forward. And last but not least, the beautiful flowers on the altar today, they almost look like they're glowing there under those lights, given by the Taverner family in honor of Brian and Lauren and their ministry at the Wesleyan Campus Ministry, their continuing ministry there, and also their years, 4 years of service here in this congregation in its life and ministry. That's all the announcements I have. They're all in your bulletins, and I invite you to take those things and put them on your calendar. And for now, let us set that aside and lift our arms in worshiping God together. It's in our bulletin. Let us make it our prayer. Creator, sustainer, liberator, Lord of life, light and love, you are God of us all, and you are love. We are made in your image, created to reflect your love and life, commanded to follow Christ and illustrate his grace through our lives. Jesus teaches us how to love our neighbor as ourself. Who does our faith say is our neighbor?
All people are our neighbor. All people should be loved.
Because we believe that Jesus loved all.
Enough to be himself to the little ones.
Enough to be in ministry with the outcast. Holy Spirit, flow through us, inspire us, empower us to love our neighbor with no exceptions. Amen. While you're standing, let us greet one another with the peace and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and a hearty welcome. We do have kids this morning, and that's great. That's always a sign of growth and a sign of life among us. And I just wanted to share a story with you today about when I was a kid and played on the playground at recess time. Sometimes we played games that were not very friendly, like Red Rover, Red Rover. Have you ever played that game? Anybody? I don't think we play it anymore. That's probably a good thing, but Oliver did, and I did, and most of you remember Red Rover, let Katie come over or whatever, and then when she got to the other side, the people would hold their hands and pretty much strangle her as she went by to keep her from breaking through the circle. That was one of those games that wasn't very friendly and was not very hospitable. I think maybe we've gotten to friendlier games these days, and I like that, but there are all kinds of circle games and line games that kids play. And all of our sports that we play can be pretty competitive, right? Sometimes that gets unfriendly. And I like it when we can play on the same team, when we can cooperate together more than compete with each other. Competition's healthy too, because that's what hones our skills. But our best games, and I think our best times, are when we work together and collaborate. That means we work together. That's what that word means. Co-labor. Work together. So the game of Red Rover is not really like that. That's a pretty rough game. It can be. But I'd like for us to play games where we cooperate together. And I think when we cooperate, that's a good illustration for living. And that when we cooperate in real life, we get a lot more done. Whether we're talking about in a business or in the world or in school or in the church, when we work together, like we're going to do in a few weeks for Vacation Bible School, to make a real splash for Christ in this community, when we work together like that, we make a difference. And I think that Jesus is proud of us when we work together. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the ways that you help us to grow and get better and to improve our skills. But help us to remember that the very best way to use those skills is when we work together, not against each other, but when we work as a team and get a lot of good done for you and for your kingdom. In your grace, we pray, people of faith, Amen. Thank you for coming to Children's Sermon. So our ushers are preparing to come and collect up and present our offerings. Everything that we are and everything that we have and everything that we give is already a gift from God. What we return is a portion of that gift. To honor God and give thanks, we return a tithe in order that the church may have resources to do God's work in the world. Let us pray. God, we ask your blessing upon these gifts and upon these givers. May all that we give in some way honor you. In Christ's name, amen. I invite your additions to our prayer list, and we'll mention some that I have gleaned from our early service this morning briefly. Let me refer you to our prayer list in the bulletin, and remember as well these persons who we now name. Tom Dudley, giving thanks for good reports medically. For Edie and Ashley, two dear, dear nieces in our family who are both expecting and who are both having some significant challenges. And hopefully those will be resolved in a very short time, but they're both having some challenges today, as a matter of fact. So please remember Edie and Ashley, nieces of Kathy and me. Also, the Roy Langston family. This came from our earlier service today. And for Brian and the students as they continue the ministries that they've been endeavoring for, and that those ministries will grow and flourish, and that the roots will grow deeper, and that the blossoms will grow brighter, greener and brighter. And last but not least, our Vacation Bible School, which I already mentioned, but as plans are being made and teachers are preparing their lessons and their studies and their recreation and all the good ways that we'll show our hospitality to folks that week, please remember them in your prayers. And if you would like to get involved in that, there are places. Just talk to me or talk to Amy, and we will get you connected because we would love to have your help. That's all the prayers that I have. Do you have others that we should add to our prayers this morning? I didn't get any yellow cards, so I assume not. Judy? Good. It's good to hear from her. All right. So we'll add Maxwell and Judy to that list. Max for a celebration and Judy for really a celebration, too, of her new place. That's good. Others? Then let's make a prayer together and let's begin it with some moments of silence. Please pray with me. Oh God, it sometimes seems redundant to say our prayers because we know that you know our hearts, our spirits from the inside out, and that no matter how we fold those up, you see through them and you know us from the inside out. That can be scary at times, but it can also be comforting, for we know, O God, that you who have created us already know us intimately. And that when we are making it our purpose to be in your presence, and rather than just knowing that you are with us, then we are giving a part of ourselves and trying to return a part of what you have created in us, so that our spirits not only recognize yours, but that your spirit resonates with us, and that our spirits resonate with your Holy Spirit. God, whether it's music that stirs us, or scripture, or the holding hands with a grandchild, or seeing youth come back from camp all smiles, whether it's in our friendships or in our lives at home or in our workplaces, we seek to honor you and to live for you as you have lived and died and lived again for us. God, you've heard the names that we've called and the hearts that we hold in our hearts as we pray to you. And you also know those things that are unspoken, those challenges that plague us or that seem to condemn or that just cause a lot of frustration. We ask for your healing and your grace when times are hard and when times are not. God, we thank you for summertime and for the freedom that our youth and children have, for them to have a time of break and rest and doing fun things, and for families that are traveling or on vacation. We ask for your grace and your spirit of recreating to enlarge our recreation to include that which will fill us with you. God, in these moments of praying, we lift our prayers to you, and those that you hear in the silent places of our spirits, we acknowledge that you hear us and that you answer and that you hold us close, especially when we are afraid or lonely or ashamed. God, in these moments, we hold you dear as well. And we honor you along with Jesus, our Master and Lord, who teaches us to pray with words like these. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Leviticus 19, verses 16 through 18. You can find it in the Old Testament on page 102 in your pew Bible. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The reading today is from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1 and 13 through 18. Through these words, hear the word of God. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit. I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. The word of God for the people of God. Black. I wear black today. Several of you have complimented my suit, and I appreciate that. I did not wear it to look good, however. I wore black on purpose. Friends, just even this evening, our city is to celebrate Independence Day celebration. And yet, there are so many in our land of the free, home of the brave, who are not free. And so I wear black. I wear black for all the downtrodden, all of the suffering. Even though today is a day of celebration of the growth of the Wesleyan, even though today is Pentecost when we usually wear white, we cannot celebrate independence without being mindful of oppression. We cannot break free of the chains of slavery if we deny that others are shackled by them today. Johnny Cash fans? There were more in early service. Almost all early service are Johnny Cash fans. You all need to, if you don't listen to any Johnny Cash, listen to Why I Wear the Black or The Man in Black. Y'all know that one at least? Okay. Then you know why I wear black. Johnny Cash, and I won't sing, I promise I won't sing. He sings, I wear the black for the poor, for those who live in the neighborhood of the hungry and the hopeless on that side of town. I wear the black for all the lives that might have been, for the 100 young men we lost last week. I wear the black for all those who have not read or heard the word of Jesus. The way to happiness is through love and charity. It sounds like he's talking right to you and to me. I wish I could wear a rainbow to tell everyone it's okay, but until that day comes, I wear the black. Now, if he wrote the song today, imagine who he would be wearing the black for. For those kids in cages at the border, I wear the black. For the trans African American women who have been shot down, I wear the black. the black. For the veterans who come home and don't get the care they need, I wear the black. For those suffering in silence for mental health issues, I wear the black. In the legacy of Dr. Jones, I wear the black. Friends, I wear the black because we are called to freedom and yet we are still bound by the yokes of slavery. We live in between Independence Days. We're about to have July 4th, and yet some of us, maybe a lot of us, overlooked the Independence Day on June 18th. Anybody know Juneteenth? What is Juneteenth? Come on.
The day that Texas realized
they were... Exactly. 2 years after the official pronunciation of the freedom of the slaves, 2 years in bondage later, Texan African descent slaves learned they were actually free. And in our culture of mass shootings and endless tragedies, in our culture that tells us we are bound by consumerism and bound under politics and lands of disagreements and division where we bite and devour each other, I say we are a bit like those folks in slavery that don't realize we are called to be free. We are called to freedom, and yet we continue, friends, to put this heavy yoke on others. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, and yet when we say, Red Rover, let the refugees come over, let the immigrants come over, let Oscar come over, they are met with a wall of arms against them. And so I wear the black. How are we ourselves putting on these yokes of bondage of slavery to others? It is sad but true that so many students that I meet at the Wesleyan Campus Ministry, they have faith. They want to be in a better relationship with Christ. They want to come to God. And yet, it is people of the faith that have stopped them. It is people of the faith that have put these yokes of judgment and persecution and hypocrisy on them. The majority of students that we get, that in our leadership of the Wesleyan Campus Ministry, that come in our doors, the majority of them, for the first time, feel that yoke lifted off them inside the Wesleyan, where they can have the freedom to be who they are, the freedom to ask questions. That's the number one above any other thing you want to think about, to ask questions, to think for themselves what these scriptures mean, to use our God-given reason and experience that John Wesley talked about. He just had a birthday. What would he think of his movement now? Where we're biting and devouring each other over the law. I'm a Methodist nerd, and so I have an original copy of the 1968 Book of Discipline. It's only that big. We've added so much to the law of the church to be like those kids playing Red Rover. We've added so much to the law of the church, we've gotten so legalistic in our understanding that we're biting and devouring each other over how to follow the law, and we're missing the point of the whole sum of the law is to
love.
Love your neighbor as yourself. And just like those Jesus was teaching, well, who is our neighbor? You don't mean my neighbor. He roots for that other team. You don't mean my neighbor. They look different than I do. See, our affirmation of faith asks, who does faith say our neighbor is? All people are our neighbor. All people should be loved because we believe that Jesus loved all. It's almost like somebody wrote this just for today and just for this scripture. Imagine that. You see, we've been so consumed by what it means to follow the law that, like those kids playing Red Rover, we're excluding children of God into our church. We're using the law as a weapon, as a way to bite and devour each other, instead of following the essence of the law to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, the fact of the matter is, friends, if we were really to follow the letter of the law we read, Kathy read from Leviticus, you ever read through all of those laws in Leviticus, friends? Most of what we have on is against the law. It's mixed fibers. I'm sure something we're about to eat will be against the law. I've trimmed up my beard and cut my hair, so I think I'm within lines, but I could still be too long. I won't go into regulations against women. You don't want to hear those. Friends, if we were to follow the letter of the law, no one would be allowed here in this holy place. Who would be worthy among us? I would not. I know that for a fact. I would not be allowed into the temple. I have no business whatsoever, according to the letter of the law, to be up here, to be proclaiming the holy word of God, to stand in the holiest of holy places, to serve communion. I hope none of y'all have ever walked away with a limp after getting communion from me. You see, according to the letter of the law, I am unclean, I am handicapped, I am disabled, I am deformed. I have no business being in the temple. Thank God for grace. Amen? Amen. I said, thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God for Jesus who went upon this cross for all people. Thank God for Christ Jesus, who was in ministry with the unclean, with the sinners, with the tax collectors, with the prostitutes, with all people, with the lepers, and invited them in, and they were in community after he left. They were back into right relationships with the community. Can we be a church where all are welcomed in when it's not a game of Red Rover? You know, I wouldn't just not even be in this place according to the law of the land. I wouldn't even be in the U.S. We took a trip to New York and visited Ellis Island, which you have to do if you go to New York. If you can afford it, go to Ellis Island once in your life. My dad told me something I already knew, but he reminded me I would not find the name Dieroff anywhere there. And we even looked up on their computers, and sure enough, it wasn't. And I looked on the walls, and it wasn't. Because we got here just before that. And thank God we did. Thank God that my great-great-grandfather left when the Nazis were starting to rise, and he was smart enough to figure out what was going on. Because, friends, the fact of the matter is, if I, as a young child, had gone to Ellis Island to immigrate into this country, I would have been turned away. Because of my illness, my childhood, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, they had medical exams, and one of the very only things that they did not allow coming in was a young child with a long-term illness, with a disability. I would have been turned away. So, we have tended to take parts of the law at our choosing literally. And yet, the law is summed up in love thy neighbor. Why can't we take that literally? Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's take that literally. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You can look at it in Leviticus. You can look at here in Galatians. You can look at it in all the Gospels. I promise you, there is never an asterisk. There is never a footnote. There is never an unless. It is to be taken literally. Love your neighbor as yourself. When will the day come where Johnny Cash would be wearing a rainbow? When will the day come that no one is bound under the yokes we put upon them? Our offertory was called Dream. I like that. When will it come true? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream. It is not here yet, friends. When will the beloved community come? When will the kingdom come? It's Sunday. It's Sunday. Sunday is a good day to love your neighbor. Sunday is a good day to be liberated. Sunday is a good day to be free. Duke Ellington wrote the hymn in our red hymnal 728, Come Sunday. Come Sunday. That's the day that God will set his people free. When can we be the church of open hearts, open doors, and open minds? Today is a good day to start. In the name of our brother and Savior, Jesus the Christ, amen. Our hymn of discipleship is number 389, Freely, Freely. As we stand to sing, if this is the day that you would like to proclaim your faith, if this is the day you would like to join this congregation, we invite you forward and we will welcome you with open arms. We're not playing Red Rover.
Name, and in Jesus' name I come to you.